his sons, basically the priest family. Then we had two other tribes. We had the tribe of Zebulun, which means to be exalted or abiding, and we had the tribe of Issachar. There shall be a recompense, a rewarder. And this is a tribe that was able to line up to know what the will of God is, and they gave directives to the people of Israel so that they were always in line with the will of God. We went past that point. We came to the brazen altar, the place of sacrifice, and then we went on to the laver where they washed their hands. And we talked about the fact that the laver was made out of mirrors or looking glasses and water. And that when the priest came from the place of the sacrifice, they washed their hands there. When they first came, all they saw was themselves. When they dipped their hands into that water, they got a distorted image of themselves. And we talked about how we get distorted in our thinking about what we are, who we are. But then, that as they washed their hands, the blood was transferred from that altar to the laver. And so what they saw was they saw themselves in the image and the imprint of the blood. And that's what God wants us to see. And that's what God sees. He doesn't see me, he sees the shed blood of Jesus. And that blood gives me access and entrance into the holy place of God. Then we talked about the lamp, and we talked about the spirit, the seven spirits of God. We talked about the fact that the light was there to represent not only the Lord Jesus, but us. In fact, everything from the very beginning, all points to Jesus. Then we talked about the table of showbread. The table of the showbread was the Lehem Panim, which is the bread of faces, the bread of display, the bread of show. This is a place where God is changing us into the image of Christ. For the bread is the word of God. Then we came on from there to this altar, the altar of incense, the brazen altar, the golden altar, rather, the golden altar where incense was burnt. The primary point of this is that the priest was in here doing something that was absolutely important. He's going to cross the high priest. Only one person gets into this particular spot. This next stage is the high priest. And there's a shed blood, and he's carrying it in a bowl. It's the blood of bulls. A bull was sacrificed, and that sacrifice was not for everybody. It was primarily for that high priest and his family. There's going to be another bowl. It's a bowl of the blood of goats, of a goat. This particular blood was for everybody else. And when I looked at it, when I'm studying and looking at this, and I'm saying, wow, a big bowl for the priest? Isn't this backwards, Lord? To whom much is given, much is expected. In this house, what I do is more important than anything that anybody else is doing. You can get away with some stuff. I can't. It's unfortunate that many times men and women of God do not understand the weight of responsibility that they carry. But we carry something that's of utmost importance. And God looks at his priest and he's careful about them. And he wants them to do right. And that's why God many times goes off the handle, so to speak, when you mess with a man of God. Because he knows all the things that man is carrying. That's why a bull was needed, not a goat. A big animal. Because God knows. Do you understand? Moses messes up, and Moses, who brought them out of Egypt, ends up not stepping into the promised land. That's why Paul says, I don't want to do everything and then be cast away. I have to be very careful about how I tread and move as a man of God. My eyes cannot be on what you're doing or what you're doing or anybody else is doing, because ultimately, God doesn't look at that. He looks at me. How did you respond to that? Anyhow, I remember something this morning happened. I woke up and I was praying, and then I was heading to the gym. And I started hearing, while I was praying, Miss Recordia. I said, Miss Recordia, I rebuke that. Nobody from this church is going to the hospital, blah, 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 blah. And the Lord says to me, you don't understand. I said, what don't I understand? No. I said, you don't understand. Do you know what Miss Recordia means? I said, I don't know. I said, so why are you talking? I said, okay, what does it mean? So I'm not going to tell you, check it, find it. So I Googled it. And Miss Recordia meant mercy, compassion, clemency. I said, wow, that's good. He said, yeah, so why were you rebuking? I said, because I thought it was the Holy Spirit. He said, no, I was talking to you about the mercy that I'm releasing to my people, clemency. Compassion. Jesus had compassion and he healed them. And I believe that the message to us today is a message of his clemency, of his compassion, of his mercy. God is saying, Miss Recordia. Hallelujah. You see, so many things I've learned, English words I've learned, all kinds of words I've learned through the years, by God speaking something to me. And I'm clueless, well, what does that mean? And then I go check it out and find, oh, wow, that's good. I like that. Today I speak misericordia over you. God's compassion, God's mercy, God's clemency. God has a plan and a purpose for every one of us. And tonight, he is sealing it into your spirit and into my spirit. And he's saying to you and I am your God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So there they were putting the incense in the golden altar. And with fear and trepidation, the high priest is going to go behind the veil to a dark room. There's no light there, no candlelight. Everything is covered. And into this dark room, there is this golden ark. It's the Ark of the Covenant. I don't have time today to talk about it in detail, but this particular ark has two angels in there, and these particular angels are powerful angels. They have the face of an eagle, the face of an ox, and we have it right here. This might be the only one anywhere in the world, because we recreated it. The face of a lion and the face of a man. Now, the face of the man is facing the mercy seat. The face of the eagle is in the back, meaning that God is always speaking heavenly perspectives, rising above every storm. When you look at the mercy seat, the mercy seat is sprinkled with the blood of that bull, sprinkled on it. And when God looks down, what he sees is the shed blood. The blood that was shed for the remission of sins. Now, this particular ark has three items inside. One of the things inside was a thing called manna. What is it? What is it? It was bread that God sent from heaven. The Bible calls it angel's food. And this bread was sent to them, light, flaky, and they were supposed to eat it every day, and you were supposed to take just enough for the day. If you took more than what was necessary for your family, the next day it will rot. There'll be maggots in it. And the first time the people of Israel got this manna that came down, manna and quail, they gathered more than enough because they thought there wasn't going to be enough for the next day. But they were instructed just enough for your family for the day. When they woke up in the morning, what's that smell? Everybody, what's that smell? What's that smell? And they went into the containers where they put manna, and it was running over with maggots. It'd gone bad. What are we going to eat? Weren't you told that God was going to give you your daily bread? Now, on the sixth day for the Sabbath, they were able to take that same manna. They were allowed to take for 2 days, and the manna didn't go bad. So at least we know that manna can last for 2 days. Now, that same manna is put in a bowl and put inside the ark and never went rotten. Because every time you obey God and you are in His will, nothing in your life will face the corruption of sin and the workings of the evil one. Hallelujah. Manna didn't go bad. What else was in there? Aaron's rod. Aaron's rod. Aaron is a Levite. The people are challenging his authority and challenging the authority of Moses, comparing themselves that they are just as spiritual. How familiar that is in our world. Church members say, I'm just as spiritual as you. Well, it's not a matter of whether you are as spiritual as I am or more spiritual than I am. It's the fact that God picked me and says, you, I'm going to use. You can pray till thy kingdom come and be as spiritual as you want to be. If God wants to make a decision, he'll come because he's a God of order and he will tap. Hallelujah. So they were challenging the authority of Aaron. Moses is upset. Aaron is upset. And God says, well, you guys are upset. Tell everybody to bring a rod representing their particular tribe. And take all of those rods and bring it into the most holy place. Wow. Interesting. The only person allowed into that most holy place was a high priest, and he had to have blood. And God says, Moses, come in. Me? Yes. Bring all those rods. And so Moses takes all of those rods, no blood, just a directive. Just a command of God. Just the calling of God to come into that most holy place where he was not allowed to go into. Only Aaron was allowed in there as the high priest. Are we together so far? The point is this. When God wants to do something, he knows how to break protocol to make certain things happen. And you're wondering, oh, let me give you another example. Because at the table of showbread, only the priests were allowed to eat that bread. Only the priests were allowed to eat that bread. But David and his men are very hungry. And they wanted bread. And the priest says, you can have this. And they ate of the bread that they were not supposed to eat from. Because God understands. Say that with me. God understands. Say it one more time. God understands. There are times that God will allow certain things to just happen without judgment, just because that is necessary at that time. But everything follows the dictates and the mandates of God. Hallelujah. If you're driving down the street and you normally would go on green, but something is wrong and all you have is a flashing red, You come to a stop, and then you cross. Because at that time, it is allowed. Do you get the point? There are going to be times in your life that certain things that are not meant to be, God will turn it around and say, it's okay, go. Pass on. Is it okay? I said, go. I said to you, go. I see you. I see the situation. Go. Only do so when God gives permission for it. Now, I'm going to say something that is going to sound rather weird for an example. But remember, it's only when God says. What did I say? Only when God says. Not your stinking heart. Only when God says. Not when the idols of your heart, because that's what you really want to do. Only when God says. Only when. I don't know why I'm saying this now. Only when God says. For example, the tithe belongs to the Lord. Yes? It is quite possible that you, that is a tither, that God sees something happening and says, that tithe, you need it. Use it to do this. When God says that, you have received an okay to do that, but that does not mean that's the new standard. It's just that that's an instruction for that moment. Do you get the point? Okay. So don't be robbing God and saying, well, it's okay, I need it. No, God expects you to trust Him to multiply your seed sown for your miracle. Praise the Lord. Anyhow, let's get back to Moses. Moses takes the rods and puts them in that most holy place. And the next morning he comes back. And all 12 rods from every tribe of Israel, he gathers them and brings them out. And he says to Dan, Dan, that's yours. That's yours, Judah. That's yours. That's yours. And there's this one, the one of Levi, the one of Aaron. It had budded. It budded. It had flowers on it. It had fruit on it. They were all, somebody say all 12 were in the most holy place. They were in the same environment, in the very presence of God. But it was the chosen. Some said the chosen. That bore fruit. The others were in the presence, but The one that bore fruit, the one that flowered, the one that presented life, exhibited life, chosen by God. In the midst of the group, that one is the one I have assigned to be my high priest. The rest of you rascals, go home. You're not chosen. Oh, but I thank God today that he's choosing us. By his mercy, by his compassion, by his clemency. It was not because Aaron was this perfect guy. Aaron murmured like the rest of them. Aaron, when Moses went to go get the Ten Commandments, he's telling this big fat lie. He says, the people wanted somebody to lead them, so I just grabbed their stuff and I threw it in the fire, and out came out this bull. Oh, liar. That's not how it happened. Aaron had his issues. But as long as he had the garment of the high priest on him, he was not touched. Miriam complained just like Aaron, and Miriam is stricken with leprosy. But Aaron is perfectly okay. And as long as he was ordained to be that priest, he stayed alive. And he did not die until Moses took the garments of the priest, high priest, away from him. And as soon as he took that off, the man died. Point. God's hand on you and on me will sustain us and keep us because of his mercy. Somebody shout hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What else was in there? First of all, the manna, representing the bread, the word of God. The provision of God, the miraculous provision of God that didn't go rotten because there's no corruption in God. Aaron's rod that budded and stayed that way. It stayed that way. The remarkable thing is this. His rod is taken away from off of his hand and put inside the ark, and now he does not need any rod. Praise the Lord. He doesn't need any of that anymore. He's just authorized. He is the high priest. The declaration of God over his life. Somebody shout hallelujah. And then there was the tablets of stone, the Ten Commandments. Well, the manna didn't stop being manna, fresh manna. Aaron's rod is budded without photosynthesis, no light, no roots, just the word of God's choosing. Because the root of your life is Jesus himself. Praise the Lord. Now, what do we do with these tablets of stones? I thought it is now okay for thou to steal, for thou to kill, for thou to be covetous, for thou to all of the Ten Commandments. The point is this. God was saying to us, my commandments, those Ten Commandments, they are eternal commandments. And they are summed up in this simple fact. Love God, love people. That never changes. There is no place for hate. There is no place for apathy, because the true opposite of love is apathy. God wants you and I to have true compassion for people, to love people, to care. When you have apathy, you don't care. Whatever you want to do, you want to die, die. You want to live, live. You want to eat, eat. Don't want to eat, I don't care. That's apathy. Love says, just eat something. Just a little bit. Drink something. Put this on. But when you have apathy, you don't care whether a person is properly clothed or not. Ah, look at that bum. Why didn't you go to school? Is everybody on the street somebody that didn't focus on their education? Do you know there are people on the street, something went wrong in their lives. They don't want to be there, but something went wrong. Should we care? Absolutely. Absolutely. And the Ten Commandments are there declaring, have mercy, love. That is the demonstration of the goodness of God. It's all about Jesus. His willingness to cover us, His willingness to forgive us, His willingness to empower us. To be everything that He calls us to be. And it behooves us as His people to demonstrate that love on a daily basis. On a daily basis. Love people. Love your fellow brother, your fellow sister. Do you like somebody to say hi to you when you're around? Somebody to acknowledge you? Well, do you do that to other people? Or you just mind your own business? Well, what does this take away from you just to acknowledge somebody else? And let them know that you are thankful that they are here. What does it take? Well, I did my Christian duty. I was playing an instrument, you know, and I did good. But, hey, family, come, let's go. Are there other families? Did you stop to say, how are you doing? What's going on with you? I was at the pool the other day, and the person that was coaching us on what to do, when I got in the water, I noticed they were not exactly the way I normally see them. So finished, and I went to she's a lady. I said, what's going on with you? You're not yourself today. She says, I just came back from a trip and I'm under the weather. And then the next statement was, you noticed? I said, yeah. She said, wow. You noticed that I was feeling bad. I said, yeah. And she was so appreciative. Somebody cared. In all that class, nobody said, whatever. Everybody was doing, they were all doing their thing. It happened to be that day I had my glasses on. I had my glasses on so I could see. And I'm getting to the water with my glasses, and I'm thinking, why am I having my glasses on? God said, keep it on. And I found out why. He wanted me to make certain that I saw something. It would have just been a blur. But I saw it. I addressed it. And you know what? One day, that lady is going to come into this church because somebody paid attention. Do you pay attention? You say, Pastor, this is a Feast of Tabernacles. What does this pay attention thing have to be, do with anything? Oh, everything. God paid attention. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He paid the price for my redemption and your redemption. There's a reason every one of us are still here. If it was all about dying and going to heaven, or accepting Jesus rather, and then you go to heaven, the very moment you say, thank you, Jesus, for being my Lord and Savior, you go, poof, you'll be gone. That'll be the proof. But he left you and I here so that we can be light. So we can pay attention to what is going on with other people around us. Because there are people that are hurting on the inside, that are wearing a mask. And God wants to be able to reveal to you and I, when we have that caring heart, on what it is that's happening there. You say something. Have you ever been in a situation, the person is smiling, and you just say one thing, and all of a sudden, oh, what's going on? I have this problem. And all they needed was somebody standing by them. Mercy, compassion, clemency, not based on whether somebody deserves it or not, but that it is needed. It is needed. Does it? It is needed. They need that. We don't need to hop on all the wrong things that they've done that brought them to that place. I sure don't want people finding all the reasons why I am in the trouble that I am. Well, there's a time for that. But right now, I need mercy. Is there anybody here today that needs the mercy of God? Look at that. Everybody here needs mercy. So why aren't we giving, extending that mercy to others? We need to extend it. The church is like a hospital. There are doctors and nurses, and there are sick people. It is not a hospital because there are doctors and nurses there. It is needed that there be doctors and nurses. But the real reason it's a hospital is because there's sick people in there that need help. The world is sick and it needs help. It needs help. And that big bull was to give the capacity and boldness for that priest to be able to handle everything that was going on. Ultimately, our high priest was the one who took on our sins. He dealt with it and he gave to us life. Praise the Lord. That ark. Was declared as a manifestation of the presence of God. In Hebrews chapter 9, it tells us about this ark. Some of the things it tells us about the ark I've already shared with us in Hebrews 9, verse 4. Talks about the golden censer, that's that golden altar, and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, we talked about that, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant, and over it the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat. Remember what we talked about, that mercy seat and those cherubims. They had the face of a man, and the face of the man was in front. So while it was looking down, what it saw was a place where the blood was shed. He says, and over the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Particularly. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. The tabernacle was about the service of God. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But unto the second went the high priest alone, once every year, at Yom Kippur, and not without blood, which he offered for himself, that's that bull, and for the errors of the people, that's the goat. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. Which was a figure for the time then present. It was figurative. In which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. Which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. But Christ, hallelujah, but Christ being come, present tense continues, and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Praise God. He obtained it. He got it. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more, hear this now, how much more, somebody say how much more, one more time, how much more, shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Purge purge your what? Your conscience. Your conscience. Your conscience is that aspect of you that the enemy wants to manipulate to keep you in condemnation. But the word of God says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You walk by the word of God. Amen? What else does the ark do for the children of Israel? As a representation of the presence of God, when they were moving with their ark, the first instruction was that it was supposed to be in the middle of the group of the people moving on. But then it changed. God starts from the middle, and he moved this ark now, then moved to be before them. In fact, are you ready for this? Before they got into the promised land, the priests carrying the ark went into the Jordan, and the waters of the Jordan split. Remember that? And all the tribes then crossed. And finally, the priest came across. What was that all about? For you and I to understand that he is Alpha and Omega. He got in first and he leaves last. Understand. The caretaker of a building like this is supposed to come in first before everybody gets in to make sure that everything is okay. And then he's the last one out to make sure that everybody is out. And God is saying, I want to be the caretaker. I want to be the first in and the last out. I want to make sure that when you come in, everything is in order. And when you leave, everything is still in order. That's powerful. Praise the Lord. Now, when the ark was before them and they went out to battle, they never lost a soldier. Nobody died. Not a one. Not when the ark was there. The presence of God was there. They lost no battles. Period. Until they started acting crazy, doing whatever it is they wanted to do, going out into battle without God, losing soldiers, and then the afterthought, I guess why we're losing is because we didn't bring the ark. Let's go get the ark. So they went and they got the ark. And when the ark came into the midst of the people, they shouted, oh, they were all celebrating. And the Philistines hear all this shouting. Please hear this. They hear all this shouting and they say, oh my, the ark is in the midst of the people. We dead meat. But then they said something else. Let's act like men and go fight. And they went. And they defeated the Israelites. And they grabbed their ark. And they took it into their land. and placed the ark of God before their god Dagon, which was a marine spirit, half man, half fish. And when they did that, they went home, and God says, you may have messed up with them, but I'm not them. So Dagon, bow. When it came the next morning, their god Dagon was arms cut off. They arranged him, put him together. They came the next day, and God had hacked. Did a hack jump on Dagon. He's all over the place. He said, oh my, what's going on here? We can't even go in to worship our Dagon anymore. Maybe it's by chance. And sickness I hit in the Philistines until they had to send the ark back. But the way for them to send it back, they said, just in case it's not the ark that's causing this problem, let's put it on a cart, attach it to these calves or oxen that just give birth, and let's see how it's going to go. And those animals headed all the way to Beth Shemesh, place of the sunrise, house of the sunrise. And the people of Beth Shemesh, disrespecting, went and looked inside, and they died. Because God will not allow any disrespect. God is a good God. He loves us. His presence is here. But he blesses those that honor him. Please hear that. He blesses who? Those that honor him. If you choose to act like a big shot around God, he will humble you. But he will exalt the humble. And our humility before God is our reverence for him and his word. Praise the Lord. When we do so, he fights for us. Hallelujah. Now, on this last day of the feast, I want us to wrap up, spending some time just to ask God for his mercy. Then we're going to share in communion together. And then I'm going to lay hands on everyone here that wants hands laid upon them for impartation. I don't know what God has in store for you, but this I do know, he has something uniquely set apart just for you. God has something uniquely set apart for you. Something that he knows will help you. Something that he knows will cause you to be adorned with the splendor of his glory. Let us position ourselves to receive what God has for us. Amen? But right now, why don't you just rise and just talk to God. Ask him for mercy. So ask him for mercy. Ask him for mercy. The set time to favor you and I is now. cry out to him, "Mercy, Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Have mercy. Lord God, arise and have mercy on my soul. Have mercy on my family. Have mercy on this ministry. Have mercy on the lives of every partner. Father, in the name of Jesus, please record here your compassion, your clemency, your favor. We call out to you, Lord. Have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy, Father. Have mercy. Have mercy, Father. Have mercy. Because of Jesus Christ, have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. And fight for me, Father. Have mercy. Fight for us as a church. Have mercy. Fight, oh God, for every one, oh God, who's a partner of this ministry. Fight for us. Have mercy, Father. Have mercy and direct us. Have mercy and guide us. Have mercy and provide for us. Have mercy, Father, in the name of Jesus. Have mercy. Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy, Father. Have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. We cry out for mercy. We cry out for mercy. We cry out for mercy. Mercy, Lord. Mercy, Father. See, O God, the sprinkling of the blood, O Father, and grant mercy. 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 Father, in the name of Jesus, mercy, Lord. 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 Mercy, mercy, Father. Mercy, mercy, Lord. Mercy, mercy, mercy. Grant mercy, Father, in the name of Jesus. Rapo shekete brasante kema. In the name of Jesus, mercy, mercy. We receive mercy, receive mercy. We receive mercy. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, help us, O God, to extend mercy to others. In the name of Jesus, that we will experience, O God, the abundance of mercy. Father, we give you praise. Father, we give you praise. Father, we give you praise. We give you praise. Have mercy. In the name of Jesus, let your compassion bring healing to us. In the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, your clemency. In Jesus' mighty name. Miss Ricordia, Miss Ricordia, Miss Ricordia, Miss Ricordia. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. It is so. It is so. It is so. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. At this time, we're going to share together in communion. But before we do so, I encourage you at this time to bring a special offering unto the Lord, especially on this last day of this gathering. God is a God who multiplies our seed sown. He says to us that no man should come empty-handed. Is there somebody here today that has nothing at all to give? You don't have anything to give, just raise your hand and we'll give you something. Okay. All right. I want somebody to place something in her hand so she can give. Praise the Lord. Thank you. It's important when we hear the word of the Lord, that we give something. It's a way of connecting to the promises of God, for He's a God of covenant. Hallelujah. Glory to God. While we are honoring God with that, I'd like to read you a scripture from Psalm 50, verse 5. Hear the word of the Lord. It says, "Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by what? Sacrifice." The group of people that God calls to a very special place of connection. There are people that have come into covenant with Him. And they did it how? By sacrifice. Verse 6, he says, "And the heaven shall declare His righteousness, for God is a judge Himself." He knows how you've come into that covenant, and He will do right. He says, "Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. I will not..." Hear this, "I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me." I'm not going to reprove you on that. He says, "I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goats out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof." So when God asks you for an offering, He's simply saying, "It's not because I have a need. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God," watch this, "offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and do what? Call upon me in the day of what? Trouble, and I will do what? Deliver thee, and thou shalt what? Glorify me." So basically God is saying, it's not for my good, for you. You're not doing God a favor when you give. You're doing yourself a favor. The woman that God sent the prophet Elijah to, he says, "I got a woman over there that's going to take care of you." Remember that story? When he got there, did the woman have anything? just she was going to have her last meal. And God says, I sent you to her so she can take care of you. This woman doesn't have anything. So who's taking care of whom? The prophet says to her, get me some water to drink. And says, okay. That was scarce. Water was scarce. So that was going to be a good one. And says, and bring me something to eat. She says, that's a harder one because I only have a very little and I'm going to eat and my son. The servants are not going to eat anything. We're going to eat that and we're going to die. He says, okay, do whatever you want to do. The woman by faith went, baked what she had, gave to the prophet to eat, went back to the pot. There was still flour there. There was still oil there. She feed herself and her son and her servants, and the next day it was still there. 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 Who was blessing whom? You and I do ourselves a great disservice when we don't follow the callings of God. When you follow the callings of God, miracles happen. Amen? Praise the Lord. Everyone has their communion element. Those of you that are home, if you have oil, I'm going to pray in just a moment for you, and I would like you to anoint yourself with oil when we come to that stage. Something is going to happen to you where you are. God knows no distance. He's everywhere present, and he's going to touch you. The oil is a point of contact. Amen? It represents that which has been crushed and gone through the process. And the greatest oil of all is that precious blood. You might not call it oil, but that is Jesus releasing himself. Today we're going to take off this cup and we're going to drink of the blood of the grapes, representing the shed blood of Jesus Christ. As you take off this body and you eat, may mercy be manifested in every area of your life. May God's favor pursue after you and overtake you. May his peace fight for you. For the word of God says, the God of peace shall crush Satan under your feet shortly. That shortly was then, let it now be a real experience for every one of us. Take of this body and eat. There is the blood of Jesus Christ shed for the remission of sins. There is the blood that causes us to be whiter than snow. God, not just me, but touching the wrong in my life and bringing good out of it. He says, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And though they be red as crimson, they shall be made white as wool. God is just saying, not only am I forgiving you, I'm going to touch that thing that was a problem in your life. I'm going to flip it around and bring good out of it. I declare in Jesus' name that God will dig deep inside of every one of us and flip the trajectory of our lives from bad to good. Hallelujah. Take of this cup and drink in remembrance of the Lord. Lift Jesus higher. Lift Jesus higher. Lift him up for the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Father, this tabernacle is about you, about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. About 2,000 years ago, he was raised up on the cross, dying for us, our perfect substitute, our Redeemer. For he gave himself through the eternal Spirit for our redemption. I pray, O God, today in the name of Jesus Christ, that there will be healing in the conscience of your people, that the consciousness of sin will be eradicated, consciousness of death be eradicated, everything that has been put into a wrong path corrected immediately. Father, let your people be established in righteousness and in truth, that an awareness of the paid price of redemption take root in every heart, that everyone, O God, comes into that awareness, Lord, O God, not only that they are forgiven, but that they are empowered to live in newness of life. We thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you for the wonderful privilege of this Feast of Tabernacles. For in the last day of the feast, you came out and you said, anyone who's thirsty, anyone that believes, should come and drink from you, and out of their bellies shall flow rivers of living water. Lord, O God, let from the depths of our being this day, rivers of living water begin to flow. Do it, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you that it is so. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated for a moment. Those of you that are on Facebook and YouTube and other platforms, I'd like for you to stretch your hands towards me, but also anoint yourself with oil. We're going to release you in just a moment. I pray for you. I declare in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that God will first and foremost remove from your life anything that is sabotaging his perfect will in your life. That every hole be sealed, and that God by his Spirit will pour afresh upon your life his Spirit of truth, his loving kindness and tender mercies, that the grace of God will see you empowered so that you can live your life in the freedom and the liberty of the Word of God, transformed by the renewal of your mind, and that this grace of the Most High God will cause you to experience supernatural speed, to overtake even those that have been ahead of you by the Spirit of truth. Receive God's impartation in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I release those that are on Facebook and YouTube, Reddit, Rumble, other platforms that may be listening, and those of you on Zoom, I didn't mention you. I trust that you also did do the same.